Sugatsia for my friends at Casper. Years of research, hundreds of tests, thousands of iterations. The result? The latest and dreamiest in sleep innovation, including the new mattresses from Casper. Casper has done it again with all new mattresses. Waking up with back pain? Introducing Zone Support, Casper's unique ergonomic system designed to keep your spine aligned when you sleep. There's something brand new called Airscape, engineered foam layers with perforations that help regulate your sleep temperature. From bedding, bed frames, and even a dog bed, Casper has everything to build the dream bedroom for every kind of sleeper. I've been sleeping on a Casper mattress for years. I swear by it. Most comfortable mattress I've ever slept on. Anytime they have new innovations, I am in on that. And as always, free shipping and free returns. And now Casper is offering free contactless delivery. And as always, free returns. Go to Casper.com. Use code Lebatard for $100 off your mattress order. That's code Lebatard for $100 off your mattress order. Terms and conditions apply. See Casper.com/terms. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and more at Progressive.com. Excuse me. I don't know what happened there. I happened. Tune in to the conclusion of The Last Dance this Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern on ESPN and listen to the wrap-up podcast hosted by Jalen and Jacoby immediately following the broadcast, presented by State Farm and AT&T, available wherever you enjoy your podcast. Here's your SportsCenter update. Conor McGregor is demanding a fight with UFC interim lightweight champion Justin Gaethje. Well, Caesars Sportsbook has Patrick Mahomes at 4-1 to win what would be his second regular season MVP award in the past 3 years. Lamar Jackson, last season's MVP, is a 13-2 favorite. And finally, Vince McMahon at 74 years old did a dive off a tower to convince a very nervous Rob Gronkowski to take a fall as he prepared for WrestleMania 36. Witnesses said that McMahon told Gronkowski following the dive, "Not so bad, is it?" Vince is crazy. Yeah. Barbasol is now better than ever, America. Try the new Ultra Grip can from Barbasol. Now equipped with a protective cap and rust-proof aluminum bottom, you're looking good, America. You're shaving with Barbasol. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
Christopher Cody, do you have anything in the way of legitimate theories on where it is your father is at the moment? He has been so spectacularly bad for an hour of this radio show, and now, as we want to go to him to talk about some of the things that he wants to talk about, I am looking into the room from the 1980s where he is doing this show, and all I see is an open door. I don't see a human being in that room. Do you have any sort of theories on the whereabouts of your father, Chris?
I have three theories. He's either cooking an omelet, getting another cup of coffee. He drinks way too much coffee. I think it's like 3 or 4 or 5 cups a day. Or he's going to the bathroom because of said coffee drinking.
All right. We will ask him when he comes back. Does anybody want to take any votes? Yeah, he's back now, but it'll take him a minute to get his headset in. Yes, Stugat.
I was going to ask. I mean, is it a simple case of Greg Cody has had it? Like, is that it? Like, is he tired of getting yelled at and made fun of? And I don't know. I figured he just walked out and was never coming back. I
mean, well, we've got a fourth theory. Billy just held up a piece of paper that said poop on it. So the four theories, let's see which one is right. We now go to Greg Cody of the Miami Herald. He's with us here show killing every Tuesday. Why could you not be bothered, Greg, to be there at the start of this segment?
I was making myself a cup of coffee. I apologize. Yeah. I lost track of the time. It was a short segment, unusually short segment.
My brother, who is painting the show every day at LeboArt.com, you could check it out. Also, he's doing some charity stuff for Ariel Helwani. My brother has asked me the first hour of this show, Greg, because he's not a regular listener of the show. He has asked me, does Greg Cody care about what he's doing? And then he asked me, is he being bad on purpose? And my answer to the second was, no, he's not being bad on purpose. And then Mike immediately started apologizing for you and saying, hey, he's old and it's difficult. But I don't think old and difficult have anything to do with never knowing what time we're on during the show, never knowing when we're back, when we're on, and getting coffee in the middle of the show. He would have spent the last 40 years crushing any athlete who failed to show up for work by 5 minutes because they were they were busy making coffee.
Well, in my defense, I think with the exception of the time I forgot to turn on my mic, it's been a pretty clean show by me so far.
What were you saying before we cut you off on paying Conor McGregor to go away, to be quiet? Conor McGregor, every time he says anything interesting, and he often does, he is someone who ends up trending and people take notice. He has done more money-making than I've ever seen from an athlete with his mouth. I'm including Charles Barkley and Muhammad Ali in that category. Floyd with his mouth or with his, I guess Floyd maybe as well, but Conor McGregor's mouth is what sells his fights. He's an above average. Did I just hear Finney? Is that Finney again?
Yeah, we got lawnmowers blaring and Finney, you know, when the lawnmowers come around, Finney starts barking, man.
Okay, well, Bristol, we now have a song from a listener because what? We were waiting. It somehow didn't happen yesterday. We were waiting for Finney to start his barking yesterday to interrupt Stugatz's show. We have a song. Bristol, do you have it cued? Go ahead and play the song from a listener on Stugatz's dog, Finney.
I love that.
The listeners continue to bring strong songs. I wanted to talk to you about something, Stugatz, that we didn't get to yesterday. I'm curious what Greg Cody's thoughts on this are as well. The backstory was a Doug Williams interview by the author John Feinstein, who, you know, John Feinstein wrote one of the great sports books of all time, Season on the Brink. And Doug Williams told him that if Mahomes and if Deshaun Watson had been white, that they would have been drafted ahead of Mitchell Trubisky. And the part about this, I know that people get uncomfortable with the race talk, and some more than others. The part about this that got my attention was Doug Gottlieb on Twitter telling John Feinstein, this is beyond idiotic. Now, when a race conversation makes an appearance and a black person is filing a complaint about something, this is beyond idiotic is exactly the wrong response for any kind of conversation like that. Not because you're not allowed to disagree. You are allowed to disagree. But once you've started a conversation with this is beyond idiotic, you're not interested at all in hearing what anyone else has to say about anything. So Doug Gottlieb continues, and the people who object to this always look like Doug Gottlieb. The people who say this is beyond idiotic always look like Doug Gottlieb. The idea the league evaluates a quarterback on race in 2020 is just dumb, disconnected, and bitterness from 40-year-old transgressions. Trubisky isn't as good as Watson and Mahomes. The Bears evaluate them all and missed. That's it. I wish that this conversation was as simple as Doug Gottlieb thinks it is, because Bill Polian, a six-time executive of the year, Stugatz, Lamar Jackson doesn't look like a wide receiver to him. Doesn't look right. Like a guy who can play quarterback in this league if, at least in part, what he's not doing is the same thing I did when I saw Deshaun Watson play. Now, you might want to accuse me of racism here, but I haven't seen someone like Deshaun Watson come into the NFL and be Deshaun Watson. I haven't seen it before. A college quarterback who's great moving around and can confuse Nick Saban, that's not something I had seen have that kind of success in the NFL before. And that's where race ends up playing a factor, and it's not beyond idiotic to suggest that any of us would be guilty of any kind of biases or places where we have a blind spot on this stuff. But the problem with this is people like Doug Gottlieb, perpetually Stugatz, are more sensitive to the idea that they're being called racist than they are to actual racism. Like, Doug Gottlieb doesn't know what it's like to experience racism. Doug Gottlieb doesn't know what it's like to live a life where Deshaun Watson is going to be questioned. And this is race playing a factor. It's not racism. I don't have to prove intent to you. I don't have to prove to you that Bill Polian isn't a racist. I'm just telling you, why do you think that happened? That Bill Polian, six-time executive of the year, saw Lamar Jackson and thought he was a wide receiver. Could it possibly be because his prototype was Peyton Manning? His prototype looked like Peyton Manning. Why can't that possibly be? Why is that a conversation that's beyond idiotic?
That, of course, could possibly be. Is there racism in that, Dan? If indeed Bill Polian thought that, you at least want that conversation to have, because you've never seen it before. Does it mean that it can't exist and can't be good in the NFL? I think the other part that's disturbing about what happened with Deshaun Watson. Now, listen, you can sit here and say the Bears, they identified the quarterback they wanted. It was Mitchell Trubisky. They had the overall number one pick. They didn't have to talk to anyone else. That's the guy they wanted. Black, white, whatever. That's the guy they wanted. But it's confusing to me that Deshaun Watson was that good at the college level. And Deshaun Watson on Twitter said over the weekend, the Bears never even spoke to him.
They talked to him by phone. There was an interview on Earth with Rich Eisen where they did interview him by phone. But that's off to the side, whether or not they talk to Deshaun Watson. They're allowed to think Mitchell Trubisky's the better quarterback. It's just super rare, Stugatz, that the black Mitchell Trubisky ends up being drafted higher than the white Mahomes and the white Deshaun Watson.
You guys remember when Doug Gottlieb was on the March Madness coverage and he thought he was way too cool for the situation and thought he could just kick it with Kenny and Charles, and he thought he could bring the white perspective, and they let him know immediately that he couldn't, and he had to walk it back and apologize. That was like one of the safe ones for White History Month, your idea.
White History Month never ended up happening. Greg Cody, because Mike Ryan couldn't find 30 incidents that he thought were funny about racism and white people and their history of racism.
It's a bit of a challenge, picking 30 funny instances in American history of racism.
I mean, I feel like Mark Schott has like 7 of them. Yeah. I mean,
there's a couple statute of limitations that were like, maybe.
Donald Sterling has a couple, too. Cody, do you have any thoughts on this as a longtime columnist for the Miami Herald who has covered football for a long time and knows that Doug Williams is the first black quarterback to ever win a Super Bowl? I know this conversation makes people uncomfortable, and what I'm saying is that those people have to be uncomfortable in order for these conversations to have any kind of impact. It sort of required, as a part of the discussion, the discomfort of white people, the discomfort of the majority is required on this stuff. So what do you have for me as an old white person, Greg Cody, as an authority on being old and white?
Even as an old white person, I find it sort of offensive that somebody would call the conversation beyond idiotic. It's the opposite of that. It's valuable to have the conversation. It's enlightening. And I do think that the NFL is getting past the inherent prejudice against black quarterbacks. I do think that, because the position is so important. And when you see a guy like Deshaun Watson, walls do crumble the more and more great black quarterbacks there are. But, Bill Polian's older than I am, and that's about all that needs to be said, I guess.
Is that true? I'm not sure. He's got to be healthier. Shot. Even though our introduction to Bill Polian was also violent coughing. More race next.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday. Social security. Is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico. Always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
If you missed any of our interviews, please check them out on demand in the Dan Le Batard Show podcast brought to you by Capital One. With Capital One, you can open a new checking or savings account with no fees or minimums. Welcome to banking reimagined. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Approval required. Capital One N.A., member FDIC. Dan, it's time for Straight Talk. It is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless.
Well, this is what I want to talk with you and Greg Cody about, and I am challenging you, okay, to have some thoughts as I unspool this that aren't the same common thoughts that we've all had on sports radio for 20 years about these kinds of subjects and cheating in college sports and paying athletes. If there's a way to take a different angle on this, I'm going to challenge you and Greg Cody to give me something different here in terms of sports radio than blah, 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 athletes should be paid. I want something on the Zion Williamson front that can be talked about, because if we've arrived in a place, Stugatz, in 2020, when the idea of a whistleblower with Adidas and Duke and Nike, a whistleblower saying there's all sorts of money going around there surrounding Zion Williamson, Duke somehow has always gotten off with the idea that they are clean. Mike Krzyzewski has had a halo over that program, which is kind of surprising given how many people hate Duke. And so if I can't get America or sports people, fans, interested in the idea of scandal involving Zion Williamson, then you're numbed to this in a way that is a little bit jarring. I've told you, Stugatz, and we talked to the director, and we will talk to the director again on South Beach Sessions, of that documentary on HBO, The Scheme. If you care about sports and you're looking for content, I advise all of you to look at this, because what you will find is that the least greasy person in this entire scenario was the middleman who went to jail, and that includes all those federal investigators that ended up doing all that wiretapping to catch these coaches, Stugatz. And these federal investigators were somewhere between incompetent and corrupt. They didn't end up getting anybody. They didn't know what they were doing. They're the rare instance where a federal indictment doesn't amount to much of anything at all, except punishing this middleman who, as I said, seemed more honest to me and less greasy than just about anybody in the documentary. And he was the only one punished. But we've arrived in a place where I can't get people interested in anything involving scandal in college sports, because you shrug your shoulders and you say, well, this is what it is. It's what it's always been. I am totally numb to the idea. There's nothing I could tell you, Stugatz. Once I've made it about prostitutes in Louisville, there's next to nothing I can tell you that would end up shocking you if I told you somebody got $1 million. Where do I need to put the numbers? What do I need to do for people not to be numb to these stories and all of this greasiness that happens in the sewage corners of college sports?
There's nowhere you could put it, Dan. I don't think, you know, throughout this entire time that you and I have been doing this, we've had this conversation, I don't think you give the public enough credit, okay? Because I think we all know exactly what college sports, we know what it is, we accept it for what it is, and we don't really care. I don't care if it's Coach K. I've been operating under the assumption for many, many years that Coach K, Roy Williams, Dean Smith, John Wooden, that at some level, they all did something to break an NCAA rule. They all committed NCAA violations. I don't think that the public cares. Maybe the media cares, but I don't think the fans care. Of course, Zion Williamson got some sort of benefit to go to some college for a year. He was going to go to some college for a year, and he probably chose the deal that was the best for him and the best for him and his family. And I think fans just operate under that assumption because we've been doing so for so long. I think when it appears in our laps, we just don't care because we just assume, of course, Zion Williamson took some benefits for him and his family, and why wouldn't he?
Greg Cody, what are your thoughts on this subject? Do you have anything original, unlike Stugatz, who said the same thing he argued with Dick Vitale about many years ago?
I mean, there's no shock value left to this story because there's an assumption of wrongdoing now. And I use the word wrongdoing cautiously because it's technically wrongdoing against the rules. But look, I've come around to change my view. I think if you're as prominent as he was to the university, of course you should be paid a stipend. Of course the star quarterback and the Zion Williamson do so much for their university to bring in income that I have come around that it's ridiculous. The head coach is getting $12 million a year and the star player supposedly is getting nothing. You know, my only issue with this whole topic is, you know, the star is worth money, but is the backup guard worth money? You know, if you're going to pay athletes, you have to pay all athletes. But I have yet to hear a workable plan for how you're going to do that.
And Dan, in terms of the middleman, I mean, that's just the easiest guy. He's actually executing the plan. He's carrying out the plan. And I think from the Fed standpoint, that's the easiest person to go after. It's the easiest person for everyone to get mad at. If you're wondering, I don't have the answer to this, and I apologize. Why doesn't anyone care about Bill Self? Why is Bill Self still coaching? Why does no one care about Sean Miller? Why is Sean Miller still coaching? They shouldn't be, but they are. And I don't have the reasons as to why they're not.
I'd go another step on this, though. I'm talking specifically about the otherwise pristine Duke image. Like, if you do believe, Stugatz, that everyone is cheating in college sports, as many people do, this is the situation you find yourself in. For a while, it seemed like cycling was draped and soaked in cheaters, and Lance Armstrong seemed to be the guy who was not cheating. But, of course, the way that he beat them is he was cheating. You look at track and field, Usain Bolt remains clean, even though all of the people around him who have the fastest times have been caught cheating. And to think that Duke is clean and getting Zion Williamson, winning Zion Williamson when everyone else is paying for recruits, they'd have to be pretty damn good at the getting of basketball players if others are offering money and they're not.
That is Straight Talk. It is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise.
GEICO knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the camaraderie of the other bikers, a band of brothers, always there for you, rain or shine, to the amazing savings you get with GEICO on your motorcycle insurance and accessories coverage all year round. But for Bucky Hornhill, it was one reason in particular.
It was my helmet hair. I was born with helmet hair. I've tried to cut it a bunch of times, even buzzing it, but it immediately just goes back to helmet hair.
GEICO Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Navy Federal Credit Union has a mission to put members first by making their financial goals the priority. Learn more at NavyFederal.org and join today. Here's your SportsCenter update. Conor McGregor is demanding a fight with UFC interim lightweight champion Justin Gaethje. Caesars Sportsbook has Patrick Mahomes at 4-1 to win what would be his second regular season MVP award in the past 3 years. Lamar Jackson, last season's MVP, is a 13-2 favorite. And finally, Bill Murray and Guy Fieri will face off in the Nacho Average Showdown on Food Network's Facebook page as the two battle in a nacho eating contest. Levitard, you got to get in there. The event will raise money for Fieri's Restaurant Employee Relief Fund, which seeks to help out-of-work restaurant workers during COVID-19. So good job by Bill. Good job by Guy. For all the latest headlines and information, tune to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
We are not making this up. The latest episode of Stupidity, which just went out today, has Rory McIlroy as the second best guest because Stugatz also, through Charlie Hume and Chris Cody, landed an interview with Tom Brady. Now, is it true, Chris Cody, and I don't want to give away too much of this interview, that you felt the need to tell Tom Brady for some reason because he was making fun of your Zoom background or something, that you had just recently moved into a new house just like him, and his response was, no, you didn't? No, did that really actually happen, or is that just a joke that's being made here by people at ESPN?
Right. Yeah. That's what people are saying to me. I told him I'm just like you. I just moved into a new house, so I'm not organized yet. And people are telling me on Twitter, reminding me that I'm nothing like him, that I didn't move into any kind of house like he did, but I'm still on cloud nine. That's why I've been kind of dizzy. Yeah. I don't know if you've noticed in the show. I've been looking down at my phone. I am just drinking in all the praise this show, yeah. Just drinking it all in. And it is fantastic.
You should. Yeah. It's hard to focus. It is. Yeah. It is.
Father and son have some similarities. Whenever the applause starts, they get lost in it. They get delirious and dizzy, and they just love staring into their phones.
Dan, he was so adorable during the Tom Brady interview. Chris was. He got a half question in. Brady broke off, interrupted it, ripped into him, said, "You're in full quarantine mode," made fun of his background. And then I tried to get Chris back in. I kept going, "Chris, you're up." I was trying to get it back in. And then Chris just finally revealed to us mid-interview, "I'm good. I'm terrified." And so that was it. Chris was done. He just watched the rest. But what happened was, like, 3 hours after Brady left us, Chris sends me a text. And this was Chris and I the entire weekend. Dude.
Did you guys ask any good questions?
I don't know.
Chris Cody, this is the reason you have no future in this business. Did you guys?
I had no idea. I told the head of digital, we delivered 7 perfectly mediocre minutes, calling it mediocre, I think, is being kind. I mean.
Wow. Check out the latest Stupidity for a 7-minute interview with Tom Brady. Only the second interview he's done. Only Howard Stern has also gotten Tom Brady quite this exclusively. Yes, Chris, what is it that you have for the audience in defense of yourself as we pound you from every corner of the universe?
I don't want to undermine the journalism that we did during that interview, but I had some questions that I potentially wanted to ask, but there was a relationship here between Tom Brady and Charlie's grandfather that I was terrified of ruining. So I wanted to just give him the easiest questions possible. Is that good journalism?
It's the opposite of good journalism. Put it on the poll at Lebatard Show. Is Chris Cody guilty of the opposite of journalism? I was making fun, 18 months ago or 12 months ago. There was an interview with Tom Brady that had all splashed behind him TB12 products, and basically, the first question was some form of, "Tell me why it is and how it is you're just so amazing." that's not really journalism. That's not what you guys did, though.
Well, we sort of did. That was also our first question. It was edited out post-production. We really did swoon over Brent. Dan, I'm not making this up. You're getting this handsome guy, the greatest quarterback of all time, and you're getting him with Charlie's grandfather, Charlie Hume, and you don't want to ruin that relationship, but you're getting him right off the golf course, sun-drenched. He looked fantastic. He's so nice, so warm, so caring. He's asking how our families are doing. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. It was hard to get a real tough question in there because I fell in love with the guy. I mean,
can you, you're not yourself lately for a variety of different reasons. Can you explain to me what it is that you were saying during the break about showers feeling like a vacation, that you feel like you're vacationing every time it is that you step into the shower?
I mean, any little, thing that you do that kind of strays away, that used to be normal, but now strays away a bit from the normal, like taking a shower, to me feels like a vacation. Like, So for me, I'm spending most of my time downstairs. And so when I go take a shower now, it's like a big thing. It's a big to do. I take a lot, like I am putting an hour. Usually I'm rushing to get through my shower, but now what I'm doing is I'm setting the scene. Like I'm taking a drink into the shower. I have a set of Grateful Dead music that I play in the shower.
Wait a minute,
like an hour in my shower.
Wait, you're romancing yourself? Like you're lighting candles and incense?
Luxuriating
and being you. First of all, I don't understand why you would say that taking a shower is not normal. Like I don't understand your starting point on this. But beyond that, what are you trying to do? You're just trying to get away from your family?
Yes, that's exactly right. It's a vacation away from my family. A shower used to be 2-3 times daily. Now it's one time daily. I don't care. Everyone's shower habits have changed here. It's one time daily. What I've decided to do is make shower time a really special time for me.
Put it on Levitard Show, at Levitard Show. Do showers now feel like vacations to you? And have your shower habits changed? Because I don't understand why you're now showering less. I'm confused by what's happening there, where you've decided I'm going to take one good 1 hour shower where I really pamper myself. And by the way, the idea of you pampering yourself while never washing anything below the waist is disturbing to me. As someone who knows, because you've admitted it, that you simply don't wash beneath the knees.
I'm glad you cleared that up.
Cody, do you have any thoughts? Have your shower habits changed at all when I don't even understand the point that Stugatz is making here?
Well, this is nothing I would ever admit unless asked directly. But, yeah, I skip a shower every once in a while now. You know, instead of showering daily and maybe 10 times a week, maybe I'm showering 5 times a week, you know, use a little extra deodorant one day. My vacation is not showering. That's what makes me feel good, is not getting away and showering, but like feeling free to skip a day once in a while feels like a vacation to me.
More sports next.
Geico knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the camaraderie of the other bikers, a band of brothers, always there for you, rain or shine, to the amazing savings you get with Geico on your motorcycle insurance and accessories coverage all year round. But for Bucky Hornhill, it was one reason in particular.
It was my helmet hair. I was born with helmet hair. I've tried to cut it a bunch of times, even buzzing it, but it immediately just goes back to helmet hair.
Geico Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
All right, guys, it's time for the Binge Club, brought to you by Marathon. These days, we have to travel smart. Marathon can help by improving engine performance with quality top-tier gasoline. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
So, Stugatz, help me out here, because we were all trying to get Greg Cody's attention during the break. For some reason, he takes his headset out. He's looking at his computer. He's not paying attention. And we couldn't find out whether or not he actually has something that he's been binge-watching. So we'll all find out together a little bit later in this segment. But can you tell me, how do you want to start this? You want to tell people what it is that you're watching? I would tell people in the audience that Dead to Me on Netflix is something that they might enjoy. Very easy to watch. Christina Applegate. It is funny. It is dark. It is an unusual show, and it is worth your time. You can watch it very quickly. Season 2 just started. What is it that you're telling people, Stugatz?
So what's been really one of the, I guess, for lack of a better term, good thing about this pandemic and being quarantined is being able to binge watch television shows that you grew up watching and being able to share them now with your kids. And so one of the shows I've been watching with one of my daughters is West Wing, and that's what we've been binge watching. She likes it. She's kind of into politics. She's kind of into that drama thriller thing. And so we have been watching, binge watching, and we're on season 3, I believe, right now of West Wing, and she loves it, and she says it holds up. It's as good as any television show she's ever seen. This is my 16-year-old daughter, Rachel. Emma has no interest in it, but we've been binge watching West Wing together.
I've been tempted by The Sopranos and by Breaking Bad, going back to them, even though I've already seen them. At Lebatard Show, put it on the poll. Are you binge watching anything that you have already seen in its entirety? Mike Ryan, what are you nominating here as something you suggest the audience should be binge watching?
I'm taking a little break from series and binge watching like these epic multi-episode shows, and I'm watching a few documentaries right now, and I just saw a documentary on Natalie Wood, but it was from the perspective of the family, so it was very skewed to, hey, Robert Wagner didn't kill her. He's a good guy.
You need to honor the segment. I don't believe a single documentary is allowed to be called a binge watching. That's just watching. That's not binge watching.
I'm a man who honors the truth, man. I'm not watching binge watching anything right now.
Very good. No matter what the corporate sponsor needs, Mike Ryan is beholden in this one instance to the absolute truth.
You're a better man than me.
Billy, what is it that you are binge watching these days that you would recommend to the audience?
The Last Dance, Dan. It's every Sunday on ESPN. It's a 10-episode. It's kind of a documentary, which you just said you can't binge watch, but when it's 10 episodes, you can watch it. It airs Sunday nights on ESPN. I binge it Monday mornings a lot of times because I fall asleep before it's done on Sunday. Great little story, walks you through the final season, the Chicago Bulls era together, and it goes back and forth. Just, it's just been great so far.
Yeah, thanks for nothing. Glad you prepared so hard for that segment. Roy, how about you? What is it that you're binge-watching these days?
I'm binge-watching a show on Discovery America called Barbecue Pitmasters, where these barbecue chefs are getting together and barbecuing all sorts of types of meat. It's very educational for me as I'm trying to be a good barbecue chef myself.
All right, nice. You're trying to learn something during the quarantine like Cody Zeller. Chris Cody, what do you have here on a binge?
Well, this morning and today I've been binge-watching my clips of my Tom Brady interview over and over again. But besides that, I've been re-watching Boy Meets World, the entire series. I love the devolution of the Corey Matthews character. He started out as a witty young kid, but as he got older, he became the dumb oaf. It's really interesting, but that's what I've been watching.
Did you just use the word devolution? Is that what you just did? Okay, very good.
He's thrown off by Brady, Dan. I mean.
Okay, so he's just looking at all the hearts around his Tom Brady interview on stupidity. That's what he can't stop binge watching. If you hadn't heard, you might want to check out the latest episode of Stupidity. It's 7 totally mediocre minutes with Tom Brady. Greg Cody of the Miami Herald, what are you binge watching and why?
My wife and I have discovered and are absolutely...
It's Dan, Stu, and Greg Cody on ESPN Radio.